Stand by. Transmitting sound. Download complete. Now launching audio stream. The Kelly Alexander Show.
We're happy to welcome celebrity trainer Tony Martinez back to the show talking about how to maintain your fitness level over the course of the holidays. Tony also weighs in on working with Janet Jackson and the importance of the 25th anniversary of Rhythm Nation. Canadian band Alert the Medic talk about their latest album, The Phantom Moves, and having their music make it onto American television. And finally, fashion consultant Parmal Gohania lets us know what the stars are wearing throughout the holidays and what we can expect to see as the 2015 award show season approaches.
Capture your need for sound.
We're always happy to welcome this next guest to the Kelly Alexander Show. Tony Martinez is an amazing personal trainer and nutritional expert who caters to A-list celebrities like Britney Spears, Pink, the Jonas Brothers, and of course, his longstanding relationship with the Queen of Pop, Janet Jackson. Tony, thank you for joining us on the show again this week.
Well, thank you for having me, Kelly.
So as we head into holiday season, I think so many of us, you know, give ourselves liberties when it comes to what we're going to eat and drink, I would say, at office Christmas parties. And of course, when we're hanging out with our family and friends, what's the biggest mistake that you see people make as we head into December?
Well, it's funny. During the holidays, you always hear this. There's no time. I'm tired. It's too expensive. I don't know where I start. It's a hard stretch from Thanksgiving all the way to New Year. Because it's usually one of the two. It's either I'm going to eat whatever I want and not exercise until January 1st, mm-hmm. or I'm going to be strict on my diet and, you know, work out continuously. But unfortunately, people don't really do the second one. They're like, I'm just going to eat and wait.
Gotcha. And do you find, Tony, that with regards to, you know, everyone's always busy, like that's everyone's main complaint. But then going into December, I know my schedule kind of doubles. Now, I work really hard at making sure I make the time for exercise, but I know that, you know, it doesn't take much to sort of derail you. How important is it to stay on track?
It's important to stay on track. But at the same time, you know, I tell all my clients this is just maintain during the holidays. Because you're going to have parties. You're going to, you know, go out to eat. You see these cookies or whatever out there. You're going to be tempted a little bit. And you're going to. That's okay. That's why I said just maintain your weight and cardio and physical activity as well.
What should we expect from ourselves, you know, with regards to exercise? I know you say maintain, but what does that mean exactly?
You know, for me, when I tell my clients during the holidays, if they could just superset, if they can do, you know, if anything more we call HIIT or high intensity, just 3 times a week. If anything, if they could do that, that's probably more beneficial because we don't have time. People don't have time. They have to get Thanksgiving ready. They have to shop for food, or they have, you know, they got holiday parties or Christmas shopping or whatever it is. There's just no time. So anything between a 10 to 20 minute workout is sufficient.
I know that eating can turn into a disaster because, you know, we're all over the place. What do you suggest for holiday parties? Because I know, you know, I've had this discussion with friends of mine where sometimes the idea crops up like, oh, we're going to starve ourselves all day and then just go to town at the holiday party. I'm assuming that's a bad idea.
That's not a good concept, no. That's why you try to eat if you can, anywhere between 4 to 6 small meals during the day. And, you know, it's okay to have little treats here, and there's nothing wrong with that. But smaller meals, smaller portions will help you throughout the whole entire time.
Joining us on the show is celebrity trainer and nutritional expert Tony Martinez. Make sure to check out his website, trainertonymartinez.com. Tony, I think a lot of us wonder if celebrities go through the same issues as we do when it comes to holidays, like, you know, wanting to kick back, relax, and maybe not watch so much what we're eating. If so, how do you keep them on track? Because I know part of their job is to actually stay in great shape.
You know, we do. I tell them the same thing. If we make realistic goals during this time, during from Thanksgiving all the way to New Year's first or January 1st, we just try to make it, and we'll go for more of a bike ride. I just try to mix it up a lot more for them because I try to do something different with them all the whole entire time. The same thing, they know this. They're like, well, I might not see you for a while. I might be going out eating a little bit more. So I say, as long as we work out 3 times a week, that's fine.
When it comes to alcohol consumption over the holidays, what do you suggest? Because I think a lot of people don't realize actually how caloric booze can be.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's all about moderation. That's the main thing. It's not being, or, you know, compulsive, being overdoing it. Anywhere from a glass of wine, you know, or spirits, an ounce or two with maybe some club soda, that's be sufficient. A couple of beers is fine. You know, you just want to have a good time. It's more for a social event. not to binge. You know what I mean?
And Tony, when it comes to sleep, because again, you know, I think everyone is staying up later and there's more parties and you're trying to see family and friends and you sort of all cram it in December. How important does sleep play in this? Because I know sometimes when you're sleep deprived, you do stupid things.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lack of sleep leads to higher levels of cortisol and stress hormones. So we try to get that as much as possible. So you want to try, sleep allows you for your brain to process new things going on. It helps you, you know, to just rest and let your body recover. So many things, you can get anywhere between, you know, 7 to 9 hours sleep, which would be great for anybody. That'd be more sufficient. That'd be great.
Worst case scenario, if someone does go buck wild and eats and drinks too much over the holidays, how do they end up righting the ship again?
You know, it's a new day. That's bad. It happened in the past. Just start a new one. Don't worry about what happened then. Just start off eating better. Eat a little better starting that day. Or if you want to maybe take a 20-minute walk after you ate or whatever, that's fine too. Just don't worry about that day. That day is done with. It's over with. The next day begins.
Tony, do you find that a lot of people go off the rails over Christmas and New Year's and then, you know, say they're going to turn it around with a New Year's resolution? Like, what's the success rate, you think, on that? Because I feel like that's almost everyone's standby excuse as they hammer through the holidays. Like, oh, you know, January 1st, I'm gonna take care of it.
You know, I think that's everybody's, you know, thing. They want to wait till January 1st to go through all that. That's why I try to tell everybody, just maintain your weight and your progress and your workouts, just because for that reason right there. Because you overindulge so many times over that. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. But at the same time, you know, you want to make realistic goals. At that time, don't say, you know, as of January 1st, I'm going to lose 50 pounds in one day. You know, just gradually, you know, anywhere between a pound to 2 pounds a week is sufficient. And then you'll see progress. You'll see results. That's what you want to do. Make realistic results.
Now, Tony, I know that you live in California. I live here in Montreal, and we have obviously vastly different winters, if you will. And I noticed that in colder climates, I feel like it's easy for us to forget to drink enough water, because you sort of feel like, oh, you know, I'm cold. I'm not thirsty. But in actuality, you really do need to drink. What do you say to people, you know, again, particularly around this time of the year when they're probably drinking more alcohol or other beverages? How important is water?
Water is very important. I always tell my clients, if they do have a beverage, to, if anything, have that and have a glass of water right with it right away. So that kind of fills them up a little bit as well too. So as long as they're drinking anywhere between 64 to, you know, 78 ounces of water a day, that's pretty good.
Talk to us a little bit about children at this time of the year, Tony, because I know, again, the role models are their parents or family members. And if we go off the rails, you know, how do we keep them on the rails? You know, I know, again, all the while letting them have a bit of fun.
Exactly. You got to have a little bit of fun. At the same time, you know, the parents are having fun. They're having fun. They're worried about, you know, because they have they're not used to their routine, because their routine is either they have school, and now that they don't have school, they're like, oh, no, what do I do now? I would think. So as long as you keep them fun, keep them active as well as you're active, that should be good.
Joining us on the show is celebrity trainer and nutritional expert Tony Martinez. Check out his website, trainertonymartinez.com. Tony, can you talk to us about those January 1st resolutions for just a sec? Because, you know, again, I think a lot of people hammer down. I call them the January joiners. You know, you sort of have this influx in January and then they peter out by February. As we head into the new year, what do you want to tell someone who is really contemplating, like, hey, I need to turn it around in 2015?
Well, there's a couple key tips here. Namely, try to schedule a time to exercise. You know, either make an appointment for yourself either morning, noon, or night, and do something that you enjoy so you don't get too bored. The other thing is mix up your workouts. Either, you know, you run, box, resistance training, walking. You always want to warm up in between 3 to 5 minutes. At the same time, you know, you're exercising to, you know, to energize yourself. Or, you know, this helps, you know, release endorphins, help the bloodstream, recall happy hormones, and this usually helps release stress and increases your energy. At the same time, realistic goals, though, okay, because people during that time, they go bonkers. They're like, I'm going to go really hard the whole entire time, really, really hard for those, you know, for the first week or so, and then they peter out. That's why you just make realistic goals.
Okay. I wanted to talk to you about your exercise line, Tony Martinez Fit. You know, how does that help someone sort of kick themselves into gear? How can it help them make it happen and start taking better care of themselves?
Well, the best thing about that, you can go to my website, the Trainer Martinez, and it has all these, I have tons and tons of exercises on there that you can take anywhere. You can either do it in your house for those cold winter nights that you can't go to the gym. It's perfect for that right there. You can do it, you know, you can do it anywhere. You can do it in, your classroom. You can do it at your office right now, Kelly, which I'm hoping you're doing right now.
Excellent,
and,
yep.
You know, you can take this anywhere. It's really light. That's the best thing about it, is that there's multiple functional exercises to do to help you burn fat and also increase, you know, a lean muscle mass.
Okay. And I know, Tony, with regards to Janet, I know you've been on lots of television shows, you know, with Janet and talking about, you know, her exercise program in the past. I know she's mentioned before that she gets bored very easily. Do you find a lot of people actually have that problem where they can't really go to a gym because they just lose interest really quick?
I think so. Or they have there might be a little bit of self-consciousness as well, too. As well, if anything, you just want to, you know, just take it gradually, you know, go at your own pace. I mean, if you want, maybe go on my blog as well, too. Give me some questions that way, too, so I can help you answer them as well. And, you know, if anything, it's just, it's all about mixing everything up, mixing up your workouts so you don't get bored. That's my main thing, is to have fun.
Excellent. Now, we're very excited, you know, for many reasons to have Tony on the show. One reason is that Janet Jackson, you know, I think one of his favorite clients, is just celebrating a pretty big milestone with the 25th anniversary of Rhythm Nation. And Tony's been gracious enough to let me ask him some questions about that. Tony, I know you were not with Janet at the time of Rhythm Nation, but you've been with her since the 90s. You know, she's just hit this milestone. What do you think that milestone, you know, means to her 25 years after such a prolific album, Rhythm Nation?
Wow, that's such a great album, first of all, with the help of, you know, her writing with Terry Lewis and Jimmy Jam. I think, if anything, she's just a trailblazer of just like R&B, hip hop, you know, dancing, which, you know, is what she's done even back then to now. All these pop artists copy her in that sense of what she's been doing. You know, she's been such an icon and just doing this for so long. I mean, just the songs of Miss You Much, you know, Black Cat, Escapade. There's so many more that go on and on and on. You just don't get that nowadays. I think that's such a milestone in what she's done.
What's your favorite Rhythm Nation song, Tony? And do you think the album is still influential to this day?
I think it's definitely influential to this day. I mean, people still want to hear it over and over and over again. And for me, it has to be, you know, Rhythm Nation, from the dance, from the choreography moves that she does. You know, I love that to this day.
I wanted to actually ask you about that, you know, with regards to that song and those moves were obviously very strenuous. I know you're obviously with Janet, you know, on several of her tours, and she's was doing, you know, the Rhythm Nation dance, the Miss You Much dance. Is that really taxing on her because of these hardcore moves and the fact that she's trying to sing and entertain at the same time as following along with her dancers?
I've said it from day one that she is one of the best athlete entertainers in the world. Doing all this from rehearsals to working out to she's such a perfectionist to get everything done just right. It's the way she likes it. And obviously it shows in all her shows, obviously it shows in her videos, it shows in her music and her writing. I mean, just shows so much what she's capable of. She's just an icon.
Do you think the world is ready for Janet to come back? Because, like, you know, I spoke to you sort of before we did the interview and mentioned that we've been fortunate to sort of have this Rhythm Nation series of interviews we've been doing, speaking to her former choreographer, Tina Landon, and also Anthony Thomas and Terry Bixler and Lavelle Smith. And they were talking about, you know, what an amazing ride it was with Rhythm Nation. And I asked them if the world is ready for her to come back. Do you think she's ready to come back, Tony? Because I know, you know, you're in her inner circle.
You know, when Janet's ready, she's going to let everybody know when she's coming back. And then when she comes back, if she does or whatever she wants to do, people are going to know, and she's going to blow the world's mind.
And last question, you know, we all know that Janet's been so gracious, you know, to her fans, and I know she appreciates her fans very much. Obviously, there's been this outpouring of love because of the 25th anniversary of Rhythm Nation. What do you think that means to her, Tony?
Oh my gosh, I'm sure she adores everything, all her fans. I'm sure she, you know, this is a big milestone for her. So she has so many milestones in her life. I'm sure this one alone, this is, you know, just when she was first coming up. You know, that's why I said she's such a trailblazer in this industry, you know, from, I mean, if you think about it, just from dancing and singing and moving around, you know, for nonstop 2 hours, that's just unheard of nowadays. Nobody does that anymore. It's just, she's just broke the barriers of everything. But I'm sure obviously she loves her fans, and, you know, who knows what's next? Only she does.
Awesome. Tony, we really appreciate you coming on the show. It's always such a joy. Thank you so, so much.
No, thank you, Kelly.
That's celebrity trainer and nutritional expert Tony Martinez. Again, check out his fitness line and everything else on his website, trainertonymartinez.com.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
We're excited to be joined by Ryan McDonald, lead singer of the Halifax-based band Alert the Medic. These guys are doing big things this year with their latest album, The Phantom Moves. The CD has picked up 2 nominations at the 2014 Music Nova Scotia Awards, and their debut single, Echo and Fade, has been played for numerous sporting events both in Canada and the U.S. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, you know, for people that are listening, I have a bunch of listeners that actually are sort of tuning in from overseas. So if they don't know who you are, can you explain how the band actually came together and why the name Alert the Medic?
Band came together, in like high school, so probably like 12 years ago or so. I don't know. We lost count after 10. It's just kind of blurs into one, but just high school kids, small town. We're from Stellarton, Nova Scotia, so it's about an hour and a half outside of Halifax, like really small area, and just grew up playing in our parents' basements. And we met Troy, our guitar player, probably about 7 years ago. He's from northern New Brunswick, Campbellton. And he grew up in the same situation, playing in his parents' basement. So we have like the same like musical upbringings, really, I guess. And we just gel really well. We're great friends. And the name Alert the Medic, I wish we really had a great sort of story, a grander story for this, but we really don't. It's just, we just heard the word medic, I think, and we really liked it. We were forced to change our name in 2006, so we went with that one.
That's very cool. Now, recently I've actually been fortunate to interview a bunch of East Coast artists like David Miles and Rhea May, and the sense I'm getting is that the East Coast scene is on the rise and something to be reckoned with across the country. Is that something you'd agree with?
Oh, definitely. Like the talent pool out east is crazy. Like the bands that we grew up with or play with or associated with in some way, shape or form are amazing. Like there's Wintersleet and the Stanfields and the Trues and In Flight Safety. And the list goes on and on and on. These bands are so talented. So yeah, I would definitely say there's something in the water out there. I would say anyway.
I wanted to ask you, you know, the album, the new one, The Phantom Moves, was produced by Mike Turner, formerly of Our Lady Peace. And so I wanted to ask you, you know, how that collaboration came about. And also, you recorded the album in Toronto. Was it important for you to head to Toronto to do this, to get maybe just a bit of an outside perspective, you know, instead of just recording, you know, on East Coast turf, if you will?
No, definitely. That's a great point. Yeah, getting out of our comfort zone and coming to Toronto was definitely something that we wanted to do again. We did it for our Weave Weapon album. We came to Toronto just to get a different atmosphere. And all of our songs are basically written on the East Coast. So to bring them out of that atmosphere and challenge them in a new atmosphere, creatively, it was something that, you know, was important to us. Not that we're trying to neglect the East Coast. Obviously, it's where we're most creative. But yeah, just something different to get away and to challenge yourself, really. And working with Mike Turner was unreal. He's seen us play a show in Toronto probably 5 years ago. And he was always really interested in the band and was always kind of like sniffing around and keeping close. So we just kept in touch. And then it just worked out that we were able to work with him, and which was super surreal because we grew up listening to his band in our parents' basements, you know, learning how to play instruments. So it was really cool and really surreal at the same time. So, yeah, it's fun.
You mentioned, you know, being in Toronto and getting a different flavor there and that you've done it before. Do you think you would ever head to a Vancouver or a Montreal maybe on a follow-up album to see how that would go?
Would love to. We'd love to record anywhere, on a boat. It doesn't matter, really. You know what I mean? I think as long as the four of us are together, we're going to be creative anyway. But when you add an element of atmosphere, yeah, like who knows what's going to happen? Like I really salute that the new Foo Fighters album and their concept of moving around from city to city and recording in a new studio. I mean, I think that's really, really cool and creative. It would definitely pull out some different, you know, creative elements in those different atmospheres. So yeah, Dave Grohl knows what's up.
Yeah, I think he does. I think you're right.
You got it.
Ryan, how would you, you know, describe the album, The Phantom Moves? Is it, you know, thematic or just a mishmash of solid tunes?
Well, I'd like to think that it's thematic. Like, I mean, we definitely wanted to paint a picture and tell a story with this one. The last album, We the Weapon, even the album before that was pretty straightforward rock and roll. And with this one, we wanted to, I hate saying the word mature and grow up a little bit, but we are getting a little bit older. So I think playing around with some different sounds and instrumentation and arrangements and working with Mike Turner definitely helps us achieve that, I think. So, just playing with different, using different colors on the canvas, when you can stand back at the end of the project and look at the album as on a whole and say, wow, this is a really great, this is a really great picture we've painted, or these are great colors we've used. Something that when I listen to music, I see color, like it's just something that happens. I picture imagery and color right away. And so I think there's a nice tone with this album. It's a little darker in some spots. It's a little lighter in some spots. So there is an up and down sort of dynamic to this album. So hopefully the listener appreciates that and something they're into.
You mentioned, Ryan, that, you guys are getting a little bit older. I'm not sure what family situation is like for you, but I know when I spoke to David Miles, he has a 2-year-old, I think, now. And he said that, being a dad has obviously changed him and even just changed how his career rolls out a little bit, because he's obviously got to be concerned about like a family life. Has that played into how you guys roll?
Not so much the family really yet. I mean, we all have, loved ones and people that are really close that, definitely influence us in certain ways, obviously. We are getting older. I mean, a few of us just bought houses. So, I think it's small step, but it's just like, oh my gosh, I'm getting up there. I'm starting to grow up here a little bit, I guess. So yeah, I think it's just, the time that we're in right now as humans on this planet, I guess this is where, this is where we feel most creative and this is, we're happy to be where we're at. So I think that just going with how happy we are with the way things are, hopefully that translates into, into musical form.
Joining us on the show is Ryan McDonald, lead singer of Canadian rock band Alert the Medic. Make sure to check them out on their website, alertthemedic.com. How did you decide that Echo and Fade would be the lead-off single, off this album? And did you have a feeling that it would do as well as it did? Because it definitely made noise.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. We didn't expect it to do I guess being in the music industry for, over 10 years, 15 years, somewhere in that range now, you don't really set your expectations too high for anything, just because I think the fear of letdown is just like, you learn that really early on in the music industry that don't get your hopes up for anything because it's probably not going to happen. So, and with choosing the single, the first single from the new album, I personally kind of washed my hands of it a little bit. I thought I was too close to the music and that my opinions, were just too close and felt that I shouldn't be responsible for making that decision. Because I like all the tunes, right? So I'm trying to pick your favorite kid, right? So, we just let a lot of people around us, our radio trackers and people who are, sort of on our team and friends. We've called out to friends and family and people who, are fans of the band and asked them what songs they're digging. So that was one of the ones that rose to the top of the pile. So we went with it and it turned out it was great. Everybody seems to be digging it. Yeah, it's neat.
Now the new single is called All Better Now. What do you want us to take away from this track?
Well, it's an upbeat sort of, it's an upbeat rock tune. It's sort of dancey and fun. It's got sort of some dark abstract poetry lyrics. So, it's definitely like there's sort of a yin yang sort of thing going on where the lyric is a little bit more, dim and the tone of the music is definitely upbeat. So yeah, we just finished a new video for that song. Actually, we released it this week. So it's a Halloween themed video and it kind of goes along with the sort of thing is like, what kind of has dark undertones, but is super fun. Well, Halloween, So yeah, we just made this super fun video back in Halifax and we're hoping people are enjoying it,
How important are videos to you, Ryan? I know you mentioned that you see things in imagery and color, so I'm assuming for you specifically, it's important. But do you think just even as, the band sense, it's important for you guys to still be putting out videos?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, we're living in like a digital era, and it really has to, it's a necessity. I mean, plus it's really fun. You know what I mean? Like like growing up and watching music videos on Much Music and I guess that was the only place you could watch me, MTV, I guess, and if you got it. But yeah, it was always awesome. It was always like cool watching it when you're a kid and going like, oh man, that video's so cool. Or, did they ever like capture the tone of the music and that, yeah, I love the main character, the storyline, and like it just, you know, it puts that visual element to the audio that you're hearing. So yeah, it's great. Like if our stuff's been used in a few different things, like sports highlights packages, which has been super, super cool. And then like, you know, some TV show stuff is user stuff, which is also super, super cool. Yeah, it's just, it feels like you're the soundtrack to a storyline that you didn't really have anything to do with, you know, and that's really exciting that somebody's like, hey, really, we connect with your music. And we think that people who listen to this and watch the show or watch this highlights package are going to connect as well. So that makes us really happy.
Obviously, you mentioned that a couple of your songs have made it onto TV, you know, specifically The Weatherman with regards to being on Rookie Blue back in 2013. What was it like having a track make it onto like a popular TV show that's played not only here in Canada, but also in the U.S.? And do you plan to serve more music to TV if possible?
Oh, gosh, yes, yes. As much as we could. Yes. It was super cool. Like, we got our family and friends together and We rented a little spot in Halifax, little pub, and watched the episode. It was so cool. Like, these are things that, like, small-town kids just sort of dream of when you're younger, you know. We're definitely not the type of, like, sort of pompous rock star sort of people that would be like, oh, yeah, it's cool. No big deal. You know what I mean? Like, no, it's wicked. It's super cool. You know, I'm not going to be one of those guys that says, like, yeah, yeah. No, it's wicked. It's so fun. Like,
that's
to see
amazing.
That happen. And just to reflect a scene, you know, that we had nothing to do with. They approached us and said, like, hey, we think this music will be awesome in this part. This is a really, like, clutch part of the show. Like, this just goes together so well. So for someone else to say, hey, we see that correlation between music and the visual, yeah, that's so cool. Because we don't think that way a lot of the times as musicians. We just think of the music. And then when someone comes in and says, like, hey, we can put some visual to this. And we're just like, yes, go for it. This is great.
That's fantastic. I love your enthusiasm, yeah. Ryan. I think that's so great. I wish everyone was as enthusiastic about their music as you are. That's so good.
And thank you.
With regards to the band, I don't know that a lot of people know this, but it sounds from my understanding that you guys are truly an independent band. You're not tied to any record label. Has that been a hard road but worth the struggle doing it on your own?
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see how it all turns out, if it worked out or not. No, it's been really cool. Yeah, like we are the true definition of an independent band. I know the word indie band gets thrown around quite a bit, and it's almost like in the past decade or so, the indie genre is, you know, the indie band term is now a genre, you know, and we're not that. I don't think we're that genre. I don't really know what that genre is, but independent, yes. Like, we book our own shows, we write our own press releases. Like, I got my mom like doing all kinds of stuff for us, you know. Like, we got all family and friends, my brother shoots our videos, you know. Like, everybody sort of just helps out because they really enjoy the music, and nobody, no big labels or management or agents or any of these guys have really jumped on board. We get thrown bones here and there by certain people, but nobody's like really committed and saying like, hey, we want to put you on tour with this huge band or anything like that, which would be unreal, obviously, but, you know, it's not our main goal, you know, like winning awards or, you know, snagging agents or whatever. That's not really what we're all about. I mean, if it happened, it would be great, but we're not hung up on that. We're just really concentrated on the music and playing and being together and being creative. So that's what it's all about.
I interviewed Jacob Hogard of Headley like probably about a year ago, and we were chatting about, you know, being in a band. And I said, you know, I said, what's the most challenging part of being in a band? And he said, the most challenging part is actually being in the band. What's your take on that? Obviously, you know, Headley have been together for a long time as well. And I think it's, you know, on either side of the coin, it's awesome to be in a band, but then hard to be in a band. Would you agree with that as well?
I'd have to disagree.
Okay.
<I'm> sorry. No, I think so. Like, I think the best part of being in a band is being in a band. Like, these guys that I play with are some of my, like, are my best friends, you know what I mean? Like, getting in the van and traveling around with these guys is the best thing, because you go through situations where you could be up, you're stoked on something amazing just happened, and you're all together to share it. And then, or something shitty could happen, like you don't get an opportunity, or you just went to an interview and it was horrible, or they ripped you up in a YouTube blog or something. I don't know, right? So you're all there together to share that as well. And you either laugh it off and stick together as a band, or you can get, things can go south if you start, you know, pointing fingers and saying like, oh, this could be your fault, or why didn't this happen? And I think just being in a band is the best part of it, like being around your friends. And I think maybe we're in a unique situation where we actually really like each other. We're great friends. We hang out like all the time when we're on the road. We're pretty much inseparable. We have crazy little jokes that no one gets. We have our own dialogue. You know, it's just we're pretty much loony bins, I think. But it's fun to be around these guys. And then when we get up to play music, we're like, oh my God, just cherry on the cake right here. Because yeah, you guys also play music and you're good. Cool. Can I play with you? Like, this is awesome. We should get in a band and we should get in a van and drive everywhere and play. And they're like, yeah, let's do it.
That's awesome. Ryan, what can we expect from you and the guys over the next, I don't know, like 6 months to a year? Obviously the album's recently, you know, out. So is it lots of touring coming up?
Yeah. Well, we're just finishing off a year here. Pretty much we're in Toronto doing some radio stuff for All Better Now, just kind of promoting the new single. And we're playing a show tonight at the Horseshoe in Toronto. So that's going to be fun. And then for the rest of the year, we're just doing some East Coast dates. And after the new year, we're going to get in the van and hopefully drive across the country and play as many places as possible. Some places we haven't been yet in the country. And it's really important that we do that and pay our Canadian band dues.
That's fantastic. Ryan, thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's been so great to speak with you.
Oh, it was really fun to speak with you. Thank you for having me.
That's Ryan McDonald, lead singer of Canadian rock band Alert the Medic. Again, make sure to check them out on their website, alertthemedic.com.
Hey, it's Ryan from Alert the Medic. You're hanging out on the Kelly Alexander Show.
Warm fight in the winter time. Cold keeping out the night. When a light in the window is hard to find, a paper cut, a bottom lip to bite. Separating wrong from right. As the feathers turn, we take to flight and feed our thread through the needle light.
are very excited to welcome back to the show our fashion expert, Parmal Gahunia, talking about what's going on with celebrities and fashion as we round out 2014 and, you know, sort of head into 2015. We're going to do the festive fashion, if you will, and also sort of take a look at what has been happening with regards to some recent award shows and what that might mean as we head fully into award season in 2015. Parmal, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Kelly. It's great to be back, and happy holidays, dare I say it.
Yes. No, I'm happy for you to say it. I'm feeling festive myself. So, you know, we're talking about fashion and celebrities. What are they doing this holiday season?
I think celebrities are a lot like us. I mean, they're just maybe a little bit more glamorous, but they're doing a lot of the same things we are. So, you know, there's so many different trends for holiday that we always see. But I think the one that's really hitting home and everyone is just in love with, including myself, is winter white. So we talked about it in the fall episode that we did, Kel. And I was talking about how pastels were so huge for fall. But winter white has really taken off for winter, actually. So for the holiday season. And it's really big for, we've seen it on the red carpet. Pretty much everyone at the Hollywood Film Awards was wearing it. And then again, at the AMAs a few weeks ago, we also saw it. And so winter white is the biggest trend that we're seeing, not only all over the red carpet, but also transitioned into everyday wear. Like all of the shades of white mixed together with different textures and tones, it's really making for a popular look. And I think more so that like all the celebrities are flaunting it in their beautiful gowns. Like J-Lo has worn winter white, Keira Knightley, like the Hollywood Film Awards that I was talking about. Honestly, every single person on the white carpet was on the red carpet, sorry, was wearing white, and a lot of embellishment. So the white with, you know, jewel tones on top of it with embellishment and details of black and red accents, that we're really seeing a lot of that as well. So all white is always the main focus with little colors of like black and red and, you know, definitely lots of sequins we're seeing. It's definitely bringing in a lot of glam into everyday wear. So celebrities get to wear glamorous stuff on the red carpet, but we're also seeing in kind of like whatever anyone would wear on their normal day to day.
You know, we're talking about white, but obviously another festive color is red. What's going on there? Anything?
Well, you know, red is always popular for holiday. I think that this year is probably a little bit more popular than other years, just because, you know, anything we see on the red carpet, we talked about it definitely during Oscar season last year. Everyone, every A-lister was wearing red, from, you know, Lupita's Ralph Lauren dress that everyone talked about, the cape dress. And then we had Amy Adams, who's wearing red. So, like, this has really transitioned again into mainstream retail. And, you know, celebrities love to wear this, all different tones of red. So just because I think it's such a glamorous look, and we really have seen it go into retail. So obviously, you know, every retailer does red for holiday. But, you know, I think that definitely the inspiration came from the stars and how much of it we saw on the actual red carpet. You know, whether it's a festive sweater or a tea-length skirt, like really the color is on everyone, and we've seen it on everyone, and in little details too. I mean, it doesn't have to be like full-on red, but we've even seen it on Fergie when she was wearing this black Yves Saint Laurent dress with red lips on it, which is like such a huge thing right now. You probably saw my last post. It was all about the lips, the lips print on skirts. It's really everywhere. So it can be so subtle as just a little print, but really we're seeing a lot of this color. And, you know, it's definitely the season for that, which, you know, is always nice. But we're also seeing a lot of prints this season, Kelly. So it's not just about the red. It's a, you know, fashion's very whimsical this winter. We kind of talked about it during fall. It's definitely carried over. I don't know if you've noticed that. Do you find it's a little bit more fun too?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm not sure if it's just because of, you know, the holidays or just the way things are trending sort of in the fashion world.
Yeah, I think it's like definitely, I think designers are always looking for something more innovative. They're always trying to, you know, go cutting edge. And a lot of runway shows were based on like Mickey Mouse and, you know, cartoon characters. But really for holiday, we're even seeing a lot of stars really, you know, it's resonating with them. So you're seeing like J-Lo wore this t-shirt that was embellished with lips on it. And you're seeing, you know, hearts. And you're seeing Taylor, I don't know if you watched Taylor Swift's new video, that, what is it, Blank Space?
Yeah, Blank Space, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's wearing this crop Miu Miu sweater with embellishment on it. So really, like, it's a lot more fun. And I think we're seeing some of the things that we normally would have worn in evening wear and stars that you'd see on the red carpet really transitioning into regular everyday wear, which is kind of fun for the rest of us because it's always fun to be a little bit glamorous, you know, even if it's just like stars like Cameron Diaz have really done like the metallic blazer with boyfriend jeans and their distressed jeans and just a white t-shirt and made that look really great. I think that everybody could really wear that look. It's not just for the stars. And definitely, like, I think that everyone needs a little bit of glitter or sequins in their life, especially this time of the year.
Right.
It's really nice to kind of be festive like that.
Now, when it comes to award shows, you know, the American Music Awards actually used to be in January, but because there's like a glut of award shows when award show season gets going, they've pulled it back to November. I think it's been back here for a couple of years, probably like we might even be back in the 10-year range, actually, that the AMAs have gone backwards into November. But, and I know you mentioned the Hollywood Film Awards as well. What situation happened, you know, at these awards that could be a sign of something to come when we hit 2015 for the Golden Globes and so on?
Well, I think that the stars are always trying to be cutting edge, and I think that they're really looking for something that speaks to them. So really every celebrity that you see on the red carpet, I think that what they wear on the red carpet, they really want to be reflective of their personalities. So, you know, for me, Kate Beckinsale is like my ultimate fashion guru. I just love her. I think she always looks flawless on the red carpet. And she wore this gorgeous white dress by Kaufman Franco, actually, with this, I think it was a snake necklace. She looked with just a pulled back ponytail, nothing major. But I mean, she always captures the look so greatly. So I think simplicity is definitely going to be a big thing on the red carpet this season, but also we always see it, but, you know, skin is going to be huge. So showing the skin, whether it's like a huge, split in the dress or a plunging neckline or a plunging backline, I should say, you're really going to see a lot of celebs kind of pushing the boundaries there, I think. But I think moreover, white's definitely going to be something that carries on. But also I think that people are always looking to be a little bit different, and we're going to definitely see these geometric patterns and this kaleidoscope prints that you're seeing everywhere kind of carry over into, definitely I think that's going to be carried over into awards season. I really think that there's so many great designers out there that celebrities are always looking for the next it person. So you'll hear of designers that maybe you haven't heard of before, you know, black celebrities like Kendall Jenner, who actually wore it to the AMAs, Yael Azul, I hope I said that right, with like a see-through dress with black shorts. I think that people are really going to try to be different this award season.
Okay. Is there anything that the celebrities should not be doing? Like, did you see anything that sort of makes you frightened?
Well, I kind of told you that in the AMAs, I definitely think Kate Beckinsale shined, Kendall Jenner, and Julianne Hough, actually, who's none of which are actual singers, funny enough.
Right.
No, they're not even singers. They're like kind of, well, actually, Selena Gomez had a really great Armani dress on, and she got a lot of heat for it. People thought that she, you know, it was too reserved for her. I mean, it did have a plunging neckline. I think she always is like, simplicity really does her well. Even when she did her performance, she looked exquisite, but people did say she didn't look that great. I think, you know, I think it really depends on the person. I think that, Zendaya, I hope I said that
really
went for that like 70s look. And it was a swimsuit top she was wearing with gold palazzo pants and an oversized gold jacket. Like, I didn't get it. I mean, it's an award show. It might not be the Grammys, it might not be the Oscars, but it's still an award show where people want to dress up. And I think that was totally something that should not have been done. I mean, she really did look, I mean, she had the afro, which I totally dug. I thought that was totally wicked cool, but maybe she tapped into her gold member a little bit too much with the look. And I really think that was a miss. And then I also think Rita Ora was a miss, as much as I love her. I mean, in that Zac Posen dress, it just didn't fit her personality. I think we talked about that before, and it's really reflective. Like, I did not expect to see her in a strapless train canary color Zac Posen dress. I really thought she would wear something edgier, maybe shorter, something that's really, you know, her personality. you know, Black Widow baby. Like, I don't know. Right. She just needs to, I expected more. So I think, like, even Kylie Jenner, same thing. Her sister was such a hit, and she was such a miss for me. She's 17 years old wearing a wine-colored dress in silk. Like, it just, the fabric, everything, it just did not mesh with what we normally see on her, even in Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Not really a look that she would wear. So I think people just need to stay true to what their personality is and what their personal style is. And that always comes across, you know, and it's time and tested things like Kate, you know, Kate Hudson, we talk about all the time, and Gwyneth Paltrow. Like, these are people that never miss on the red carpet. So I think that because they stay true to the style that they want to have shown. So I think that if, you know, that needs to be something that definitely is brought to the forefront when you're thinking about red carpet looks.
Now, before I let you bounce, we are in holiday season, and I always find you have great ideas, whether it's fashion or, you know, just what's kind of hot and trending right now. What gift ideas would you give out to my awesome listeners as they try to get themselves ready for Christmas?
You know, Kelly, people always tell me I'm a hard person to shop for, because usually if I like something that I, when it comes to fashion, normally most people will just buy it, right? So I hate fashion gifts. Like, everyone's going to give socks or tights or, sorry, socks or ties or gloves. Like, that's a great stocking stuffer. But I think when it comes to personal gifts, there's some really great ideas this season. I love the letter necklace for girls. So, you know, if your name starts with a P for Carmel or a K for Kelly, you get a little necklace and a little bit of bling that says that. Even there's a few rings that have personalized letters on it too. I think that's a great gift to give anyone. I know I would love to receive that.
Mm-hmm.
Envelope clutches for ladies, I think, are really great. They're kind of sleek and tight. They look like an envelope. They open like an envelope, but they're not as bulky or tchotchkied up. They're just kind of sleek. And that's a great present for anyone, because everyone can always use, I mean, for ladies, they can receive a clutch at any time and it's always useful. Another really great one, I don't want to leave men out of it, but a monogrammed pocket square. I thought this was like the best idea when I saw it. I want to get my husband this. I think a monogrammed pocket square is so sweet. Like, it's just so suits looking. It's just awesome. Like, it, you know, I think that pocket squares have really taken off in the last, maybe I would say 2 years, as well as, you know, fun socks for men. So pocket squares are just another way for men to kind of show off their personalities. Ladies have so many accessories, but men are kind of limited to what they actually can use on a day-to-day basis. So I think a personalized or monogrammed pocket square is such a good idea for any guy. They're really inexpensive. You could probably take it to any tailor who has an embroidery machine. They could probably do it for you at really inexpensive cost. Another one, we talked about it last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to bring it up again, because everybody's so obsessed with these Golden Beats by Dr. Dre headphones and the pill, you know, the one that,
yep,
the speaker or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone keeps talking about this. Now they made a gold version. They had a red version before.
Yes,
I mean, like, they keep changing it up a little bit, but it's still definitely a present that I think anybody would love to receive. And then for those diehard travelers, I know that I get the travel bug every few months. I really love traveling, and who doesn't, right? So Decopedia.com actually makes these flashcards for, I think it's like under $20. They're must-see destinations around the world.
Okay.
And it's just basically flashcards to give you some inspiration and a little bit of detail about the place. It's pretty neat. I think that's a pretty cool gift to give, especially when we're going to a lot of holiday parties, and sometimes you get secret Santas for people that you don't really know that well, or,
mm-hmm,
you know, you don't know what to buy them. That's a really great gift idea. And then two others that I think everyone loves is the Nespresso single serve coffee machine. I would love single serve coffee machines. I love it when a workplace has a single serve coffee machine, because it just makes it that much easier without having to do any of the cleanup. And then the Vitamix. God, I can't talk enough about this Vitamix, and everybody who's in health nut loves the Vitamix, yet they're so expensive. So if you're really in a giving mood, and you definitely have a deserving recipient, the Vitamix S30 blender is pretty neat. So you can make your protein shakes in it. You can make your smoothies, all around goodness, I guess. for anyone who really enjoys a good smoothie. I know I do, but I probably wouldn't make it myself.
I know, that's always the problem. It's the damn cleanup.
It really is. I totally agree. But there's lots of people that wake up really early to make their smoothie on the way to work, and God bless them all.
It's a commitment.
You know, they're definitely spending the $500 on a Vitamix well. So.
That's true. Parmel, thank you so much, and happy holidays, and we can't wait to have you back on when award show season hits in 2015.
Oh, happy holidays. All the best to all the listeners, and honestly, stay tuned for more holiday looks on Fashion Fridays. It's going to be really awesome. We're going to be kicking into casual gear pretty soon here.
Fantastic. That is our fashion expert, Parmel Gahunia, and as she mentioned, she does Fashion Fridays each and every Friday for us on the Kelly Alexander Show on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Kelly Alexander Show, and of course on our Instagram as well, which is Kelly Alexander Show. And again, you can follow Parmel for all of her awesomeness on her Instagram, Parmel Gahunia. Again, that's our fashion consultant, Parmel Gahunia, right here on the Kelly Alexander Show.
KellyAlexanderShow.com.
Recently, I got my hands on the debut album of Canadian-born singer Kaiza. Now, if you haven't heard of Kaiza, I'm kind of surprised because she has been all over the place promoting her album, Sound of a Woman, and it is fantastic. Now, you potentially have heard her two singles, Giant in My Heart and Hideaway, but the track we're going to feature today is actually called Piano. It's a down-tempo tune off the album, and I cannot wait for you to hear it. And please, 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 if there's one thing you do for yourself in the next little while, it's to grab a copy of this album, Kaiza's Sound of a Woman. Here she is with Piano on The Kelly Alexander Show.
I still remember you. Held me like a picture frame. While staring in your eyes, my mind's still in the memory. Talking like I'm bulletproof. My heart's playing hunger games. Knowing that when you and I collide, I'll give you everything.
Kelly Alexander Show.
We really appreciate you spending time with us on the show this week. And as always, a big thank you going out to my guests. This week, Tony Martinez, Alert the Medic, and Parmal Gahunia. Here is your thought-provoking quote of the week, this time coming from Samuel Johnson. Great works are performed not by strength, but by perseverance. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media, on Twitter, at K Alexander Show, on Facebook, Kelly Alexander Show, and of course, our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Kelly Alexander Show. If you have any comments or questions, drop me a line, Kelly@KellyAlexanderShow.com. Have an awesome week. You and I'll chat soon.